Have you ever wondered why your neighbor's house sold for $50,000 more than expected? Or why that charming bungalow downtown has been listed for months while other properties fly off the market? Spencer Raskoff and Stan Humphries, the minds behind Zillow, the revolutionary platform that transformed how we interact with real estate, have been collecting and analyzing housing data for decades. Their groundbreaking work has turned conventional wisdom on its head, revealing that many of our deeply held beliefs about real estate are nothing more than myths. Since launching in 2006, Zillow has amassed information on over 110 million American homes, processing 3.2 terabytes of data daily through 1.2 million statistical models. This treasure trove of information has allowed them to identify patterns that challenge everything we thought we knew about buying, selling, and investing in property. Their findings have made waves across the industry, with Warren Buffett himself embracing their conclusions about real estate as an investment. Let's dive into what the data really tells us about America's most important marketplace. Warren Buffett shocked many financial experts in 2012 when he declared single-family homes an exceptional investment opportunity, even better than stocks. This wasn't just talk. His company Berkshire Hathaway promptly launched its own real estate brokerage, Home Services of America, putting serious money behind this conviction. The move was particularly noteworthy because Buffett had historically focused on businesses and stocks, making this pivot to residential real estate all the more significant. Conventional wisdom has long held that stocks outperform real estate, with the S&P 500 showing 8 to 11% annual increases compared to housing seemingly modest 4%. But this comparison misses crucial factors that dramatically change the equation, including leverage, tax benefits, and the fundamental utility of property ownership. When you account for all components of real estate returns, the picture changes dramatically. Rental income typically yields 4 to 8% annually. Mortgage interest tax deductions can save thousands each year. And the utility value of living in your investment, essentially rent you don't have to pay, adds another layer of returns. Combined, residential real estate averaged an impressive 11.6% annual return from 1975 to 2014, handily beating the S&P 500's 10.4%. Even more compelling is real estate's lower volatility compared to stocks, with standard deviation of returns typically half that of the stock market, making it both more profitable and less risky as a long-term investment. During market downturns, real estate tends to hold value better than stocks, providing a crucial stability buffer in investment portfolios. The power of real estate investing becomes particularly apparent beyond the 20-year mark, where compounding effects create substantial wealth. A property purchased for $300,000 in 2000 would typically be worth over $800,000 today, not accounting for rental income or tax benefits. Unlike stocks, real estate also offers unique leveraging capabilities through mortgages. When you buy a $500,000 home with 20% down, you control the entire asset's appreciation with just $100,000 invested. If the property increases 5% in value, you've gained $25,000, a 25% return on your initial investment, not just 5%. This leverage effect is further enhanced by historically low interest rates and inflation's impact on fixed-rate mortgage payments. This leveraging advantage explains why real estate has been the primary wealth-building vehicle for middle-class Americans for generations. According to Federal Reserve data, homeowners' net worth is typically 40 times greater than renters, with real estate accounting for roughly 70% of middle-class wealth. The data confirms what Buffett recognized. Your home isn't just a place to live, it's potentially your most powerful investment. Additional benefits include protection against inflation, as both property values and rental income tend to rise with inflation, and the ability to improve property value through strategic renovations and management, something impossible with stock investments. We've all heard the mantra, location, 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 but smart home buyers should actually focus on future location, future location, future location. By analyzing patterns in housing data, we can predict which neighborhoods are likely to appreciate significantly over time, allowing savvy investors to buy before values skyrocket. Properties nearest city centers typically command the highest prices due to shorter commutes and abundant amenities. However, homes in adjacent areas often appreciate more rapidly, gradually closing the value gap with central neighborhoods. In Phoenix, homes 30-40 miles from downtown increased from being worth just 1/10 of central properties to over 40% of central home values across 3 decades. Similar patterns appeared in Dallas, Chicago, and Philadelphia, though timing varies by market. Beyond simple distance from downtown, certain neighborhoods within each concentric ring appreciate faster than others. These are the hot spots. The key is to look just beyond already established premier neighborhoods, where the halo effect creates rapid appreciation. As people seek more affordable housing near desirable areas, businesses follow, creating cultural spillover. These surrounding areas, being underdeveloped, have tremendous room for growth and often appreciate faster than the premier neighborhoods themselves. This pattern appears consistently across major cities. In New York, Dumbo grew 617% compared to Tribeca's 374% over 15 years. However, the effect doesn't work everywhere. Seattle's homogeneous neighborhoods showed little differential growth. For the halo effect to work, easy accessibility to premier neighborhoods is crucial, often facilitated by public transportation. Even more powerful than the halo effect is gentrification, which transforms neighborhoods through a predictable pattern. First, low-rent areas attract urban pioneers seeking affordable space. Then, artists and creatives follow, building community. Next, developers renovate buildings. Finally, the gentry arrives, dramatically raising property values. Gentrification isn't random. It follows patterns that can be identified decades in advance. The strongest predictor is housing stock age. Neighborhoods with over 17% of homes older than 40 years have a 47% chance of appreciating faster than their county average, compared to just 24% for areas with newer homes. Low homeowner occupation rates are another strong indicator, as non-resident owners are more willing to sell to developers. Using these metrics, you can identify tomorrow's hot neighborhoods decades in advance by looking for areas with old housing stock that aren't far from desirable neighborhoods and have low homeownership rates. Rather than chasing trends, smart buyers can identify these neighborhoods early, purchase property, and patiently wait for appreciation to come to them. Could your daily latte habit predict real estate gold? The data suggests exactly that. Properties within a quarter mile of a Starbucks appreciated 96% over 17 years compared to the average American home's 65% appreciation. A home near a Starbucks would have sold for $137,000 in 1997 but appreciated to $269,000 by 2014, while the average American home rose only to $168,000 during the same period. This Starbucks effect has been observed across multiple markets, from urban centers to suburban locations, suggesting a consistent pattern rather than regional anomalies. Is this merely correlation? To test whether any coffee shop would show similar results, we compared Starbucks locations to Dunkin' Donuts. While homes near Dunkin' Donuts also appreciated faster than average, 80% since 1997, they still lagged behind Starbucks-adjacent properties, 96%. The data shows Starbucks isn't just following gentrification, but actively contributing to it. Homes within a quarter mile of new locations appreciate faster than those slightly farther away. This effect is particularly pronounced in emerging neighborhoods, where property values often surge within 18 to 24 months of a Starbucks opening. What makes Starbucks so effective at identifying and perhaps creating real estate hotspots? Their location selection process combines rigorous data analysis with regional team insights. Arthur Rubenfeld, who oversees this process, describes it as an art and a science. Using analytics experts who study traffic patterns, demographic trends, and geographic data while empowering local decision makers. The company analyzes factors including median income, education levels, population density, and competitive landscape. They also consider foot traffic patterns, proximity to public transportation, and even the number of competing coffee shops in the area. This balanced approach mirrors what smart home buyers should do: use data to inform subjective decisions about finding the perfect home. When you see a new Starbucks opening in a transitional neighborhood, it might be time to start house hunting. The Green Mermaid logo could be signaling your next real estate windfall. Historical data from cities like Seattle, Portland, and Chicago shows that neighborhoods that welcomed Starbucks saw average property value increases of 20 to 30% within 5 years of the store's opening. The phenomenon extends beyond residential properties. Commercial real estate near Starbucks locations often experiences similar appreciation, with retail spaces commanding premium rents and increased foot traffic. Small business owners frequently report improved sales after a Starbucks opens nearby, creating a virtuous cycle of neighborhood improvement and economic growth. This commercial coattail effect has been documented in numerous urban renewal success stories, where a Starbucks arrival marked the beginning of broader neighborhood revitalization. Buy the worst house in the best neighborhood has been repeated by real estate experts for decades. The logic seems sound. Purchase a fixer-upper in a premium area, renovate it to neighborhood standards, and watch your investment soar as it catches up with surrounding property values. This conventional wisdom has influenced countless real estate investment decisions, but recent comprehensive data analysis reveals a more nuanced reality. Surprisingly, this popular advice is largely a myth. After analyzing millions of home sales across diverse markets over a 20-year period, we found that the bottom 10% of homes in a zip code typically perform neither better nor worse than other homes in the same area. In fact, in more affluent neighborhoods, these bottom-tier homes actually underperform significantly compared to their neighbors, often by margins of 7 to 12% in total appreciation. This underperformance is particularly pronounced in established luxury markets like Beverly Hills, Westchester County, and Greenwich, Connecticut, where bottom-tier properties faced persistent marketing challenges. There is one exception where the strategy can work: in hot, up-and-coming neighborhoods with 5 consecutive years of higher-than-average appreciation. In Manchester, Pittsburgh, once a prosperous enclave of steel barons that fell into disrepair but is now experiencing a renaissance, bottom 10% homes are actually outperforming more expensive properties by 4 percentage points. Similar patterns have emerged in Brooklyn's Bushwick neighborhood, Detroit's Corktown, and Nashville's East Nashville, where early investors in deteriorating properties saw substantial returns. The timing is crucial, though. If you don't get into the neighborhood while it's still on the upswing, cheap houses will likely underperform. After initial appreciation, the market gets picked over, and remaining cheap properties are cheap for legitimate reasons: horrible locations or conditions beyond economical repair. Las Vegas exemplifies this pattern, where bottom-tier homes now underperform by 9 percentage points. Similar scenarios have played out in Phoenix, Miami, and other markets where post-boom bottom-tier properties became investment pitfalls. The data suggests a better strategy: purchase a decent house in the most expensive neighborhood where you can afford a home, not in the bottom 10%. This approach gives you the benefits of a premium location without the underperformance penalty that often comes with the worst house in established affluent areas. Analysis shows that homes in the 25th to 75th percentile price range consistently demonstrate the most stable appreciation patterns, with average annual returns 2 to 3 percentage points higher than bottom-tier properties in the same areas. Key factors to consider include the neighborhood's historical price trends, current renovation activity, and local zoning regulations that might affect property improvements. Additionally, buyers should carefully evaluate carrying costs, as bottom-tier properties often require substantial ongoing maintenance that can erode potential returns. the most successful investors typically focus on properties that need cosmetic rather than structural improvements, allowing for quicker, more predictable renovation timelines and better risk-adjusted returns. When selling a home, word choice in listings dramatically impacts both buyer perception and final sale price. Certain words carry hidden meanings that savvy buyers recognize as red flags. For example, describing a home as unique can reduce its sale price by 30 to 50% because buyers interpret this as code for needs work. Similarly, modern typically indicates a mid-century home, 1950s, 1960s, not recent construction. Size-related euphemisms follow a predictable pattern. Charming homes average 1,487 square feet, quaint homes about 1,299 square feet, and cute homes just 1,128 square feet, all substantially smaller than the median 1,640 square foot home. Meanwhile, terms like potential and investment typically indicate properties needing significant work or renovation. These word choices significantly impact final sale prices. Negative descriptors like investment, potential, or TLC can drop prices by up to 7%. Conversely, describing bottom-tier homes as luxurious can boost prices by 8.2%, while captivating can increase top-tier home prices by 6.5%. While strategic word choice matters, the underlying truth about the home drives the increased sale price, not just clever adjectives. Misleading descriptions might attract visitors but won't fool buyers who see the actual property. Conversely, failing to mention valuable features can cost sellers money. Homes with granite features mentioned in listings sold for 1.1 through 4.16% more than similar homes without this mention. Longer listings consistently sell for more money across all price tiers. Buyers crave details, and additional information helps them determine whether a house is worth viewing in person. The median listing for top-tier homes runs 68 words, mid-tier homes 60 words, and bottom-tier homes 47 words. However, there's a limit, around 250 words, beyond which additional text doesn't further increase sale price. Real estate listings operate with hidden codes and rules, where words often mean the opposite of what they appear to say. Success comes from understanding these signals, both as a seller crafting a listing and as a buyer interpreting one. With these insights, you can navigate this coded language for better outcomes on both sides of the transaction. Home sales demonstrate strong seasonal patterns, with national peaks occurring in June when transactions surge 40% above yearly averages. However, these patterns show significant regional variation based on local climate and market dynamics. While Miami sees its peak in March due to favorable winter weather and snowbird buyers, northern markets like Chicago experience their strongest periods in June through August when weather conditions are optimal for home shopping. Through comprehensive analysis of both buyer demand cycles and seller supply patterns across multiple markets, we discovered that homes listed specifically in the last 2 weeks of March achieved the optimal balance of quick sales and premium prices. This timing sweet spot occurs after the initial surge of February and early March listings has been absorbed, but before the intense competition of May and June when agent inquiries reach their peak. These late March listings benefit from appearing as fresh inventory precisely when serious buyers are actively entering the market in force. The financial impact of this timing advantage can be substantial and varies by market. In Seattle, proper timing resulted in a 2.8% price premium, approximately $6,500 on median-priced homes, while Bay Area sellers saw even more dramatic gains of 5.9%, about $22,000. Other major markets showed similar patterns, though the specific premium varies based on local conditions. While regional variations exist due to climate differences, the universal strategy remains consistent. List after the first major wave of new inventory, but before peak season intensity, typically between March Madness and the Masters Golf Tournament. December listings consistently underperform across markets, with particularly poor results during holiday weeks. Atlanta homes sold 7% below average during this period, while Chicago properties suffered even steeper discounts at 8.6% below normal. This pattern reflects reduced buyer activity during the holiday season and a perception that December sellers may be desperate or dealing with distressed properties. Even warm weather markets see notably reduced activity during this period. The optimal listing strategy should align with your specific priorities as a seller. For those focused primarily on maximizing sale price, late March typically offers the best opportunity in most markets, particularly in the weeks following daylight savings time when longer daylight hours benefit showings. However, sellers prioritizing a quick sale might consider late February, when lower inventory levels mean less competition and highly motivated early season buyers are beginning their search. Understanding and leveraging these seasonal patterns provides sellers with a powerful advantage that requires no additional investment. By strategically timing your market entry, you can potentially capture significant price premiums without incurring additional costs for improvements or staging. This timing advantage becomes even more pronounced in competitive markets where small edges can translate into substantial financial gains. Pricing a home for sale resembles the game show The Price is Right. List as close as possible to market value without going over. Many sellers fear underpricing and instinctively overprice, hoping to drive up the final sale price, but this strategy typically backfires. When you've overpriced your home, it's better to admit the mistake quickly and cut the price all the way down to market value in one move. Death by a thousand cuts, making multiple small price reductions, only prolongs the ordeal and compounds the problem, leaving your listing stale while buyers sense weakness. Beyond setting the right overall price point, the specific digits you choose can significantly impact your sale. Psychological pricing, using the number 9, can help sellers make more money while asking for less. Dave Gold discovered this phenomenon when he noticed wine priced at $99 flew off shelves compared to bottles at $98 or $102, leading him to found the successful 99-only store chain. This pricing strategy works remarkably well in real estate, too. Homes listed with prices ending in 9, like $149,000 instead of $150,000, sell for an average of $2,175 more than identical homes with rounded prices. They also sell 3 to 7 days faster. The effect diminishes but never disappears at higher price points. This pricing advantage likely stems from helping listings stand out during buyers' initial search process, particularly in online searches where a $149,900 home will appear before $150,000 listings when sorted by price. Cultural superstitions also influence pricing effectiveness. Homes with 666 in the listing price sell for 3.2% less than expected, while houses numbered 13 surprisingly sell 2% higher. In areas with high Chinese populations, over 10%, cultural number associations become even more significant. The number 8, which sounds like prosper in Mandarin, as the last non-zero digit in listing prices, leads to sales 1.5% higher than expected, while 4, which sounds like death, decreases sales by 1%. Smart sellers should consider these psychological and cultural factors when setting their asking price. The right digits can mean thousands of dollars in your pocket and a faster sale, a rare win-win in real estate. The housing market has undergone seismic shifts in recent decades, from the bubble and crash of the 2000s to the pandemic-fueled frenzy of the early 2020s. While it's impossible to predict exactly where housing values will go next, data analysis reveals important patterns that can guide better decisions. Some metro areas are experiencing concerning signs of new housing bubbles inflated by two distorting forces: negative equity and historically low mortgage rates. Negative equity constrains housing supply because underwater homeowners can't afford to sell, while low mortgage rates drive up demand. When high demand meets limited supply, prices rise rapidly, expanding the bubble. Nearly half of Americans with mortgages recently lacked sufficient equity to sell their current home and make a down payment on another, creating an undersupplied market. As interest rates rise, potential buyers become less eager, removing demand and potentially halting appreciation. This actually reduces the bubble threat in some ways, suggesting the worst market instability may be behind us, though the next decade won't be smooth or simple. Regional variations in housing markets will continue to be dramatic. The sand states of Arizona, California, and Nevada have housing markets defined by extreme volatility. Measuring quarterly value changes since 1985 reveals these markets swing dramatically. Riverside averaging 2.9% changes quarterly, Las Vegas 2.6%, and Phoenix 2.4%, compared to stable Pittsburgh's mere 1.2% average fluctuations. Buying a home in these volatile markets is essentially a coin flip. You have no certainty about your property's future value. Let the data be your guide in this era of uncertainty. While it's harder than ever to predict the future, we can make well-informed decisions today by navigating with numbers, not just intuition. Is it safe to re-enter the housing market? Yes, not because instability is over, but because volatility matters less when you're armed with better information. Everyone now faces a choice: wield data to your advantage or ignore it to your peril. On the individual level, this means using numbers to determine where to buy, when to sell, what mortgage terms to accept, and how to craft your listing. On the macro level, data allows policymakers to understand market forces and prevent another economic collapse. With access to information, we're no longer flying blind. While some markets will have hiccups and houses aren't guaranteed money factories, smart buyers and sellers who follow the data can find good deals. The most important new rule of real estate: get your hands on as much information as possible about your local market. Numbers don't lie, and they'll help you find your way home.